Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, August the 28th, 2026. 15 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and discussing a number of things this morning. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. The Dolly Parton cornbread was rather good, but there is an interesting ad out today for the Vivek Ramaswamy campaign that is sparking a little bit of controversy. Let's let you hear the ad here this hour, and then we'll tell you what the controversy is in regard to this ad.
I had to put my mother in a nursing home because she had fallen. A few weeks after that is when Amy Acton shut down the state. My mother didn't understand it. It traumatized her. She didn't know why her family couldn't come visit her. 2 months later, she died. Amy Acton is to blame for this. It happened to a lot of families, and it shouldn't have happened. I will never forgive Amy Acton for what she did to my family. Ohio can't afford liberal Amy Acton.
Now that's the ad that's playing right now, and Amy Acton's campaign has released a statement in regard to this ad that says, new reporting from the Columbus Dispatch reveals that Vivek Ramaswamy's newest ad features a GOP activist who falsely blames Dr. Acton for isolating her late mother during the pandemic. The Dispatch verified records proving the activist's mother was from Kentucky, belonging to a church in Kentucky, who died July 25th, 2020, at a hospice facility in Kentucky, 6 weeks after Dr. Acton stepped down as health director. The activist, Linda Caudill, served as a delegate for Trump in 2016 and 2024 and sparked controversy as a volunteer for former U.S. Representative Jim Renacci's 2017 campaign for governor, and is pictured in a viral photo of protesters gathered outside the Ohio State House on April 13, 2020, to oppose DeWine's pandemic policies. Okay, well, the stay-at-home order did come from Dr. Acton and Mike DeWine. So I understand that part, and I understand not being able to see your mother during the height of the pandemic, because she wouldn't have if she was in a nursing home. I get that. I also get that people die from loneliness. I get that. The two problems here are, this woman apparently was a political activist, I guess. And also, although I really don't understand that, because the Renacci campaign would have happened in 22. So she might have been already sparked by what happened in 2020. So that's meaningless to me at this point. But also, the woman lived in Kentucky, which apparently doesn't have anything to do with Ohio. I don't understand that part of it.
Yeah, if the woman's mother was in Kentucky, then I don't think I don't think that Amy Acton's, Acton and DeWine, I suppose. I mean, I don't know how you can blame them. I mean, she's in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's very odd.
They don't have anything to do with Kentucky, so, I don't know.
So is this just a false ad? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, if the woman was in Kentucky, then I think this is not good form. I don't even understand that. Well, the Amy Acton bit here says that the ad doesn't identify the nursing home or specify where Caudill's mother spent her final months, but her obituary, first reported by the liberal website TiffinOhio.net and verified by the State House Bureau, indicates she was from Kentucky, belonged to a church in Kentucky, and died July 25th at a hospice facility in Kentucky. Okay. So we don't know where she died, I guess.
Well, I don't think we know, like, the nursing home, I guess, but they said, didn't they just say that it was in Kentucky?
Well, they said she died at a hospice in Kentucky, but was she in a nursing home in Ohio?
Why would she be in a nursing home in Ohio if she's from Kentucky? Had church in Kentucky, grew up in Kentucky. Why would you send her to a nursing home here?
Well, her daughter lived here. And Cincinnati and Kentucky are not that far away.
Yeah.
And the woman lived in Kentucky, the daughter. So, if your mother fell and had to go to a nursing home, you might have, if it's only like an hour away, you might have her come to a nursing home where you can go see her, which she wasn't allowed to do because it was the COVID era.
But then why wouldn't she put her in a hospice in Ohio?
Well, a lot of people want to die close to home. In a hospice, you don't know if the person... We just need to know that fact. I mean, you can't make that claim that she died in Kentucky if she didn't. No, I'm not sure.
I mean, she died in Kentucky. That's for sure. I guess.
Because that's a little misleading to say that was the nursing home she was in Kentucky.
I don't know. I mean, I know what was read, so.
I mean, I think these things would have to be figured out before we could make any assumptions on anything. Don't you think?
I mean, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can be, if she ended up in a nursing home in Ohio, I mean, you can be upset that you weren't allowed to see your mom, I guess.
Listen, and people can make these claims, it just doesn't, you know, because here's the problem. I'm a little skeptical after the whole DJ the Barber ad, because he is Vivek's barber, is what we learned.
Yeah.
And remarks were being made that he was not Vivek's barber. I think we should play that ad. What do you think?
I like that ad.
Here we go.
Cut a guy's hair for as long as I cut Vivek's hair, you know a person. And I would trust him 120%. And he's for the working man. The people of Ohio are disgusted with what's going on. Electric bills are so high, people can't afford them. These are things that people talk about. Vivek wants to make things better, and he will fix it. I believe in that. He loves Ohio, and it's his home.
Vivek Ramaswamy for governor.
All right, now there's the DJ the Barber ad, and we had DJ the Barber on this program last week, and we learned that he was Vivek's barber. Is.
Yeah, still cuts his hair when he's in town.
So, what do you believe at this point?
About him?
About this whole thing.
Well, what's the whole thing? DJ the Barber?
No. This whole Caudill nursing home ad.
I mean, I don't know. I think that it wasn't explained very well.
Well, certainly not.
I mean, so, you know. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that you can... I don't know. It's certainly not... Amy Acton's fault that your mother died. I don't think she's necessarily blaming her for the death of her mother, but, you know, it was a pandemic, so we didn't really know what the best course of action was until we knew what the best course of action was.
What do you make of the response we got on the DJ the Barber interview last week? DJ the Barber on this station last Friday got 272 reactions, 292 comments, and 3 shares. Why do you think that sparks such controversy with people?
Well, I think it's an effective ad.
Yeah, but the people, one of the comments, can't trust a barber with a beard that's unkempt. That ad is creepy. Did he cut his hair when he moved to Texas? Tell him to take some more off the top. Let's see here. Lost his last name. Vivek is a regular person, except he's a multi-billionaire, but he can really relate to the average Joe. Those kids look like they want to get back on the private jet. I mute the TV every time that commercial comes on. That guy is creepy and seems like he'd be related to Siders in Vinton County. I can't see that being his barber for more than one time. You know that billionaires go to spas or have their own personal stylist. That's just a little bit of the comment section.
I mean, the man, if he's an actor, he's a pretty good actor.
Why attack the barber? I still don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Give me the phone. We might have to call DJ the Barber. He said we could call him back, right?
You're going to call DJ.
Well, I think we need to get his opinion on some of this, don't you?
On what? The
great response? Yes, the whole thing. I'm sure the man's got he's brilliant, you know.
DJ the Barber is an interesting fellow. I think that I believe what DJ says. I mean, you know,
I want to get every man's opinion.
It's more like I believe that he believes what he says.
Unplug that phone line over there. I want to get every man's opinion on this, and to me, every man's opinion is DJ the Barber. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh yeah, you know he refers to Ohio as Ohio. You know, you gotta, like, he knows what he's talking about,
and he knows Vivek.
Yeah, Vic.
He'll know Vic. Sure. We'll get those. Stand by.
I like the big phone.
Well, when you make a phone call on the air, you have to get Thomas Edison's phone out. Oh, no, Alexander Graham Bell's phone. Excuse me. We got to get DJ the Barber's phone number here. Our political consultant. Oh, we only hope to God that he answers. Okay. We're going to get his thoughts on this whole pandemic ad with whatever.
Caudill, yeah.
Yeah, the nursing home ad and the whole thing that went down with, blah, 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 back and forth, fighting Amy Acton, saying that it's not true. So on and so forth. We're going to call our friend DJ the Barber. Stand by. Let's see if we can get DJ the Barber on the line. I'm telling you, it's like the 90s every time you make a call on this phone. Calling DJ the Barber. Stand by. This is going to be good.
Hey, DJ.
Hey, DJ, it's Scott Spears from WGH Radio. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, good to talk with you again. How are things today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Staying busy?
Yeah, I have been.
Good to hear. How are things going? What's the response like to the Vivek ad in the last week?
Very well. Well, I've touched some nerves.
Touched some nerves.
I really have.
Do you think it's more in the positive or the negative at this point?
Well, I've been in business for 50 years, and I bet you I've had between 20 and 30 people pull up here or stop as they go by and say they really enjoyed the ad. It was great.
Now, last week when we called you, you said you'd gotten some death threats. Has all that calmed down?
Yeah, it's not really death threats. It's just people that, you know, saying things that are not true. And they said, well, you got your opinion, I got mine. And I hang up, you know what I mean? I'm not, you know, you got some weird people out here. You don't know what anybody's going to do, but I'm not worried about it. You know, I'm just trying to do what's right.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Have you talked with Vivek in the last week?
No, I haven't, but I've talked, you know, with the, you know, people there wanting me to do some texts and stuff like that to get out, you know, to raise some money and stuff like that for them and everything. And the State Highway Patrol keeps in contact with me. Yep. You know, they call me and ask me if I need anything and stuff like that. And very kind people, respectful, and I appreciate that.
So all very nice, it sounds like.
Yes, it's very nice.
Yeah, well, also...
They have overwhelmingly treated me with great respect, and I couldn't be more honored to be associated with such people.
Well, and I think it's because of that ad. That ad is very, very effective.
Yes, it has struck.
Right.
So, I'm sure we're going to be doing something else. I don't know when, but whenever they tell me, that's when we'll do it.
So you think there could be a second ad that will come out?
It could be. Yeah, they could be.
Oh, well, that'd be very, very good. And they shot that right down there in your barbershop.
Yes, they did, for 7.5 hours.
Well, I got to tell you, when we put that interview we did with you up last week, it got a tremendous response. You know, some good, some bad, just like politics. But, you know, a lot of people just do not believe you and Vivek are friends and you're his barber. Why do you think that is?
Well, I'm going to cure that problem. I'm going to talk to Vic, and I'm going to talk to him about some things that I think... that I can do, I can prove it. I can prove every bit of it. I speak the truth and only the truth. You know, I don't lie about anything. I only tell what I know, what's fact, what I've seen with my own eyes. Nothing more, nothing less. I started cutting this boy, man's hair when he's 5 years old. I cut it until he went up to Xavier. I've been with him a long time. I know him better than anybody. His parents. He's a honorable, good man. You know, a lot of people don't understand that Dick came from a middle-class family. You know what I mean? Like me. His dad worked at GE. Mine worked at Ford. You know what I mean? They gave Dick the tools, and he ran with it. He's self-made. He never asked anybody for anything. It's amazing in this country when you work hard and you strive, and you work your tail off for your family and your grandchildren to help them and everything, that nobody cares.
Well, it's so how do you plan to cure this fact that people think that you are not his barber?
Well, I don't know just yet. I've been thinking about that. But, I'm thinking about asking, I can't say right now, but you know, I've got an idea that, you know, that I think will blow them all out of the water. Because there's only one person that knows that I cut their hair for 25 years. And that's their mother.
Oh. So possibly having the mother... come in.
That's a possibility. I'm not saying that. I won't say. I don't want my words. You know. I don't know, but she does, because she brought him in here.
Right. Right. Now I have a question, DJ. Now when do you have Vivek's personal phone number?
No, I do not. I do not. I do not ask for that.
I understand. But when he picks you up to take you to these rallies, what do you talk about in the car?
Well, they just asked me if I'm well. They we talk about what I'm going to say, and I tell them I said I'm going to say what I feel in my heart.
Well, definitely, and that's what people should do. The reason I called you, DJ, is because there's a controversy this week. You know, there always is when somebody's running for office. And it's surrounding a new Vivek ad. I want to play this ad because I don't know if you've heard it yet. I want to play this ad for you, and then I want to get your response and want to tell you what we've heard. So hang on the line here just a second.
Sure.
We're going to play this ad and get DJ the Barber's response. Here's the new ad that's been getting all the controversy. Here we go.
I had to put my mother in a nursing home because she had fallen. A few weeks after that is when Amy Acton shut down the state. My mother didn't understand it. It traumatized her. She didn't know why her family couldn't come visit her. 2 months later, she died. Amy Acton is to blame for this. It happened to a lot of families, and it shouldn't have happened. I will never forgive Amy Acton for what she did to my family. Ohio can't afford liberal Amy Acton.
Now, DJ, what do you make of that ad?
Well, I feel for this woman. Amy Atkins shut my business down for 2 years, for two and a half months. I lost thousands of dollars. She put kids out of closed schools. And like that woman said, she couldn't even get in to see her mother. She died. That's terrible. If you start an operation and you quit in the middle of it, you know what's going to happen. Is she going to quit in the middle of being governor?
Well, that's
I don't know.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting, DJ, because here's what her campaign has said about this ad, and I want to get your opinion on this. What they have said today is they said new reporting from the Columbus Dispatch reveals that Vivek Ramaswamy's newest ad features a GOP activist who falsely blames Dr. Acton for isolating her late mother during the pandemic. The Dispatch verified records proving the activist's mother was from Kentucky, belonging to a church in Kentucky, and died on July 25, 2020 at a hospice facility in Kentucky, 6 weeks after Dr. Acton stepped down as health director. The activist, Linda Caudill, served as a delegate for Trump in 2016 and 2024, sparked controversy as a volunteer for former U.S. Representative Jim Renacci's 2017 campaign for governor, and is pictured in a viral photo of protesters gathered outside the Ohio State House on April 13th, 2020, to oppose DeWine's pandemic policies. That's what Amy Acton's campaign says. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, I don't know that much about it. About that, I just know what she did because I was involved with that. I spent 3.5 months in the hospital with COVID and everything like this, and I won't comment, but I will comment and say I know what she's done. You know, I know what she is, and, you know, I mean, a lot of people that came in my barbershop couldn't get in to see their loved ones. They couldn't, you know, at least she closed down the schools. This is not right.
Right.
It's just not right.
Now, DJ, you say you spent 3 months in the hospital with COVID. Do you think maybe that's why Amy Acton was trying to keep people away from each other so people wouldn't catch it?
You know, again, I don't know. I can't comment on something I don't know about. But, you know what I mean? All I know is what she did. I go by facts. And I know she closed schools. She cost me money. She caused a lot of people a lot of pain. And when you're running for governor, you don't cause people pain. You help them.
And for people out there listening, why is Vivek the best person to be governor?
Why is he?
Yeah.
Because he's got compassion for the everyday working man. He understands the people. And like I have told you, and anybody that I talk to, it is only one thing. It is the people. If you cannot make a man's life, a child's life, somebody better than what they was before, you don't belong there. I don't like politicians. Politicians take your money and worry about their seat. Vic is compassionate about what he thinks in what he does, and he will make a great governor, and I will stand by him until the last day.
Hey, DJ, how do you feel about Governor DeWine? Do you like Governor DeWine?
I think he's decent. I think he's tried. He endorsed Vic, I believe.
I believe so.
So I think that tells you a little something.
Did you vote for Governor DeWine?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's all very, very interesting, to be sure. And, you know, I do have one more question for you, DJ, is that we're going to get a first in this gubernatorial race. Either we're going to have the first female elected governor of Ohio, or we're going to have the first non-white elected governor of Ohio. Do you think race plays a part with people when they go to the voting booth?
No, I do not. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, or whatever color you want your name. If you're born in this country, you are American. May what you be, when you stand up and look at that flag and you're born in this land, you're American. 100%. Race means nothing.
Now, DJ, I think a lot of people echo your sentiments there, but why do you think this billionaire thing with Vivek keeps coming up? You know, they keep saying that he flies over the state of Ohio, he moved his business to Texas. You know, does it matter to you how much money somebody has?
No. It's like I spoke to you last time. I said, money does not make a man. It's what inside his soul makes a man. The compassion to do well for the people he represents. Government was made to serve the people, not to restrict the people.
Well, I'll tell you what, DJ, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I appreciate speaking to you on these issues going on, and I hope you don't mind if we call you back along the way and get your opinion on what's going on.
I appreciate your time, I appreciate your courtesy, and I thank you kindly.
Hey, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, DJ.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. DJ the Barber from the famous Vivek Ramaswamy ad about him cutting Vivek's hair for many, many years. So we cleared it up again. Matt, your thoughts on DJ the Barber?
I like it. He cries.
Well, he's very emotional.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem to me that he certainly believes what he's saying. I mean, if he didn't believe what he was saying, I don't think he'd be choking up when he's talking about, you know, Vivek and how he feels.
I think he's the everyman, and I think having him on during the election cycle helps us a great deal here at this station, because the man clearly is not prepped and ready to go. He whatever he's saying is clearly off the cuff, wouldn't you say? You having trouble plugging the phone back in?
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think that, I think it's off the cuff. I mean, I don't think he's scripted or anything.
No, certainly not.
You know, I think if he had some kind of script he was running, I mean, you know, it's a good one, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't think Jim Renacci ran for governor in 2017. I think he ran for governor in 2022. Well, what did you hit? Did you hit a button? Yeah, I think you hit a button. Oh, holy mackerel.
I hit a thing, but it's plugged in there.
There we go. Okay, well, the phone talks. Phone lines are open here. 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on DJ the Barber and his thoughts on this whole... I tell you, I really think we've got this gubernatorial race covered.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, we got Mr. DJ here.
DJ the Barber.
We've had both of the candidates have been on.
Both of the lieutenant candidates have been on.
We had Heather Hill on. We had the one dude who Tim Grady who said don't vote for him. So I don't know why he's running, but he's there, I guess.
He's there. Any thoughts this morning on DJ the Barber or this ad? Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us your thoughts on anything. You know, I'm looking over at this table where we made the Dolly Parton cornbread. Oh, I was going to ask DJ about Dolly Parton.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, it slipped by. I forgot to ask him. But I bet he was a Dolly Parton fan.
I could see it.
I could definitely see it. The cornbread looks delicious as it sits over there.
It's pretty good cornbread.
It's got some butter on the top of it. It looks yellow. It's very good, just browned on top as you would want it to be. Good-looking cornbread.
I think so.
So we've made the Dolly Parton cornbread. We've called DJ the Barber. We're trying to get to the bottom of this whole Linda Caudill ad. I don't know. But I think that's a wrong state. I do not think Jim Renacci ran for governor in 2017.
I do not know when he ran for governor.
I know it was 2022. Let's put it that way.
Oh, well, then why did you say it that way?
No, but I'm just saying I don't know that he ran for governor in 2017. If he did, I certainly don't recall that. But I know he definitely did run in the primary against DeWine in 2022. That's a definite. So I guess I really don't understand this ad on the whole. Or this response from the Amy Acton group.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know much about the story, so. It's a weird story.
Well, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts on this. DJ the Barber, certainly an interesting character. He generates a lot of response from people. And I still don't understand why the man can't be the barber.
I don't know why he couldn't be the barber.
No, but that's what they all say. You heard what the comments were as we went down the comment section there. I don't understand that, and I don't understand getting so upset at somebody's barber.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like when the first time he called in and he said that there was a dude who had called in and threatened to shoot him. I don't know why people get so upset by the ads.
No, but apparently this ad is also getting a lot of blowback. You know, it seems to me that these ads must be generating a lot of response.
What? Sorry, I was trying to see. Yeah, no, I
don't think Jim Renacci ran in 2017. But it seems to me that these ads seem to be generating a lot of response. And I'm not sure why, you know, should Amy Acton's campaign be responding to these things?
I think that they should just make ads. I think they should do something. I don't think they should be just answering via like press releases. I mean, Vivek's campaign. Now look, both campaigns were very poorly run. It would seem to me that Vivek's campaign has at least picked up some momentum. Like, it's just, Vivek's running at least now, at least a decent campaign. I don't think Amy Acton's really done that.
Well, we'll find out. Hey, by the way, Governor Mike DeWine has been selected as the 41st inductee into the prestigious Little Brown Jug Wall of Fame. An honor presented annually by the Delaware County Fair to individuals who have made exceptional contributions to the historic Pacing Classic and the fairgrounds that host it. So there you go. The 70th governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, is going to go into the Little Brown Jug Wall of Fame. They say Governor DeWine has been a great advocate for the Delaware County Fair and the Little Brown Jug, said Tom Wright, president of the Little Brown Jug Society. He was instrumental in acquiring the bed tax and capital improvement funds to upgrade their aging facilities. Governor DeWine has been in the winner's circle nearly every year that he has been in office to present the Little Brown Jug trophy. He is a great advocate for our industry and agriculture. DeWine said, I'm honored to be inducted as part of the Little Brown Jug Wall of Fame. The Little Brown Jug has a special place in harness racing and is always a great tradition at the Delaware County Fair. Governor DeWine will be formally honored during a private ceremony on Tuesday, September 22nd, prior to the 81st edition of the Grade 1 Little Brown Jug. He will also be recognized in the winner's circle on Jug Day, Thursday, September the 24th.
That'll be good.
I think it's only right that Governor DeWine go in the Little Brown Jug Hall of Fame. We interviewed him at the Little Brown Jug last year.
Yes, we did.
And by we, I mean me.
Yeah.
But it happened.
I was there.
Yeah. No pictures of the man's face. I don't understand, but what can you do?
You and Marion the whole time. He never once...
Well, that's what... He was a communicator, but you should have went behind me.
Sean was running a camera. I didn't want to enter the, like...
But we're in a room where there are people walking everywhere. If we're in, like, on, like, a set, you don't want to walk onto the set. But we're in a room where people are walking everywhere anyway. Nobody knows.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't want to walk onto the camera.
Any thoughts on Governor DeWine going in the Little Brown Jug Hall of Fame? Wall of Fame. 740-383-9944. I love the Little Brown Jug. Roger Houston, the voice. No longer calling the races, though, anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have
retired
that.
Retired last year.
Semi-retired.
Well, retired from the jug. I think he's just doing some of the smaller races now.
I think he's still going to be at the jug, isn't he? He's just
he'll be there,
letting the other dude, like...
Do the main races.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that what I said?
No.
What did I say?
You said he retired, and then so I...
Yeah, but he's not the voice of the Little Brown Jug race anymore. That's the whole thing. I mean, his like, however many years he did it, that stopped now.
It's like going from full-time to part-time.
Not really, because the race that people want to hear is the final race. Now, he'll do a couple leading up, I think he said, but the main race is what people... That's the job.
I guess. I mean, I suppose.
It's the person who counts down the ball on New Year's. That's the host of the show, not the person who talks during the show.
I suppose, maybe. I don't know, I don't watch the ball drop.
He's like the, you know, he wants to be there. He's been a part of it for years. I think that's very good. But he's no longer the main attraction, which was kind of under wraps last year because it was his first year stepping down. So I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to work this year.
Did he do the jug last year?
No. But people didn't know until, like, right before. It was kind of handled very oddly.
Well, I don't know. Maybe people come just to hear Roger.
Yeah, but, I mean, I remember when he was on the show that week, because he's always on that week, you know, Monday or Tuesday, we talked to him, and I remember said, do you ever think about leaving the jug or something like that? And he said, ask me that when I see you on Thursday. So it knew something was up. But being the 80th year, I thought he would call that and step aside. And maybe that's why he did call some races last year.
I mean, I don't know. He likes doing it. I mean, I don't... If he likes doing it, and they're going to keep having him do it.
Who knows what went on behind the scenes? You never know.
Yeah, I mean... But... I think
that new guy is not as gregarious, and he certainly doesn't have the history that Roger has.
Yeah,
I mean, the booth is called the Roger Houston Booth, and you know, the man had been calling those races, I think, since the 50s or the 60s, something like that.
Why don't they just like make an AI recording of his voice and have that do it forever?
Well, I don't think you want that, but I think that. It's just, you know, it's great that he's there, but it's very strange that to have somebody else do it. I think it cuts down on a little bit of the mystique of the Little Brown Jug.
I mean, I don't know, I guess. I mean, it's, you know, you can't have, I guess you can, they're going to, but, you know, it'll be weird to have the little brown jug without, you know, the voice of the little brown jug as it goes.
Well, we had that last year.
I don't know, I didn't notice, I guess. But I also wasn't really paying attention to the races.
And I think Roger came over, right? I know we did the first interview after the race that he did not do for the first time. I forget exactly what he said, but I remember a very emotional moment, I thought.
I suppose.
But there was a lot going on last year. I mean, Governor DeWine had come over, which we really did not expect to happen until about, I don't know, not very long before it actually happened. And then Roger was leaving, and this guy was starting, and it was a whole lot going on that day.
I mean, that's good.
How do you feel about Governor?
What
you said
mean?
You think Vivek's campaign's doing better.
Oh, you mean as far as the race goes?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think Vivek's campaign's doing better, yeah. I mean, I think that that he's picked up some speed. Naomi Acton is still just kind of, I don't know, stumbling around doing whatever she's doing. I mean, she's making press releases, I guess, but I don't know. All the time she's making press releases about how much money she raised. You know, it's pretty pointless when you're not using the money for anything. You gotta spend the money on ads. You gotta get, like, Vivek's ads are killing her right now.
She never answers the ads, which I can't understand that. Why would you not want to say that you didn't do this? She does it all for... Press releases don't mean a whole hill of beans.
Nobody's really reading press releases besides, you know, the press.
I don't know why she doesn't get out and say anything.
I don't know. I think she should go out and do more, I don't know, every time. Because, like, every time she goes out and speaks, she buries herself with her crowd. She's against the trans women in women's sports, in favor of issue 3, basically death penalty is settled. I mean, like, it's, she, I don't know, she's not exactly, I don't know, I don't think that her strategy is a good one.
I'd like to know who's running that campaign, and
you know, I figured the campaign would have been run more smoothly for the sheer fact that David Pepper is the lieutenant governor candidate. I mean, that man was in charge of the Democratic Party. I mean, I figure he's got some grasp of an idea on how to run a campaign.
They've never been to Marion, although she claims they go to places that Democrats have not been. No, she has not.
Yeah, she has not.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting close.
A few months.
Not a few months anymore. Couple. This is the last Friday in August, and it's the first Tuesday in November. You got September and October. Done.
Well, if she's going to use any of that money she's raised, now's the time to start shooting out the ads.
I hear that the unions have endorsed her.
Yep, doesn't surprise me. The labor unions usually do.
I don't know. You know, I haven't seen a whole lot of political ads either for this race yet. Usually I get them in the mail all the time. I haven't got any for Sherrod Brown. I have not got any for John Husted. I have not got any for Amy Acton. I have not got any for Vivek Ramaswamy. I thought that's where a lot of the money would be spent.
If I had to put, if I had to bet, I would say that Vivek's going to win the election.
Oh, I think he's the odds-on favorite.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, now, you know, I don't necessarily want the man to win, but, you know, if things keep going the way they're going now, Vivek's campaign has been gaining momentum, Amy Acton's campaign has not. And I do think that there's a good chance that people are just gonna, you know, come home, as it were, and vote for Vivek. I see no way that there's just going to be a whole bunch of people who just, I mean, I don't know, maybe there will just be a large swath of Republicans who don't show up to vote, but I doubt that.
I'm telling
they
you
they always show up.
Well, they're not going to vote for her.
Yes.
So you got to wonder, are they just going to show up and vote for John Husted? Are they going to leave it blank? I can't imagine they will. I think they'll just plug their nose and vote for Vivek.
Yep. I figure they're going to get in there. They're going to vote for Vivek. And I think Vivek's going to win the election. Now, I don't know. I don't think either of them are going to be great. Both terrible candidates.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think Vivek, terrible candidate. I can't say that about Vivek at this point. I don't think he is a terrible candidate.
I mean, Vivek's been picking up momentum, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, the entire start of the election, I mean, like, it was, they were both, like, they had no experience. Like, none of them
have ever
been in administration.
We got to go to break. We're coming back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
See whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.